Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome back to Tip TV Finance with me, Matt Brown. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce onto the show today Philip Reed, who is chairman of Britannia's Gold Limited. Good morning to you, Philip. Are you well?
I'm very well with you. Thank you, Matthew.
Good stuff.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure. Well, let's start off. A few reports in the Telegraph and Daily Mail recently. One saying Britannia's Gold is looking to recover £4.5 billion worth of gold trapped in merchant ships sunk by the Nazis during the Second World War. What a great headline. A lot of gold out there. So just talk us through what Britannia's Gold does.
Well, in fact, the headline is accurate and in many ways inaccurate, because what people perhaps don't understand is during both World Wars, Britain, of course, was effectively having to buy a huge amount of foodstuffs, armaments, capital goods. And the payment for such goods in both World Wars was predominantly gold bullion. So in reality, Britain, although short of cash, through its Commonwealth and itself, was very long of gold bullion. So in fact, between both World Wars, Britain shipped in gold bullion, or in gold sovereign form, over £300 billion worth of gold in today's value. So 4.5 is but a pinprick. Attrition rate was circa 64% in both wars, so arguably only 36% arrived.
Incredible. So where's the balance?
In David Jones' locker.
Understood. And is this based around the UK?
It's based wider than that. In fact, the predominant routes were, not surprisingly, ending in North America as the major recipient of the gold. But of course, a great many routes were from South Africa as the major producer of gold, going across the South Atlantic, up the east coast of South America, and being attacked by the wolf packs, predominantly off the northeast coast of South America. The other main areas are Mediterranean and northwest of Ireland, as we're going across the North Atlantic. And these were the wolf packs amassed and attacked in their greatest numbers. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially three major routes.
So it's quite a large geographic area.
Yes.
To find where the gold is, obviously deep, deep below the ocean. What kind of research are you doing to discover
this? Well, this all started as the work of an archaeologist who, in fact, was doing research on a variety of ferrous metals and came across a secret file that had been misfiled that illustrated the enormity of the gold shipments in the First World War. And this started 25 years ago now, a quest by him and increasingly other research teams working with him to build up an enormous archive of information which is being gleaned from predominantly countries outside Britain, because most of Britain's records were destroyed. So Ottawa, Washington, Cape Town, Delhi, piecing this all together to come to a picture whereby one can say with some degree of certainty on that ship or on that ship or on this ship was X gold.
Fantastic. And are you engaging advisors to help locate?
Indeed. I mean, one is aware that in fact the history of treasure hunting has a mixed press. And indeed, most people, when they think of this, think back to a Spanish galleon off Hispaniola 500 years ago, you know, wooden ship, broken up, no one quite knows who owns the cargo. Investors have lost a great deal of money pursuing these rather attractive, but essentially fantastic dreams. We're very different. Our earliest wreck is 1914, 1915. Steel ships, well-researched, with a clear owner in HMG, Her Majesty's Government. So what we did is I went to Britain's leading shipping accountants, Moore Stevens, and Britain's leading shipping lawyers, Campbell Johnson Clark, and they've helped me put together a private placing memorandum which goes essentially to the institutional market, a proper document for a proper investment.
And Philip, just talk us through partnerships and investors that you currently have.
I will. I think the two main questions that come up from a sceptical investor is, who owns it? The government. How do you get it? And clearly salvage credibility is desperately important. We've had an enormous boost by two gentlemen joining our board as non-execs. One, Maurizio Garrido, who is president of TNT Salvage, which is arguably one of America's two largest salvage companies. Mm-hmm. The US Navy is their retained client. So they bring us enormous credibility and expertise on the American side. And in Britain, we're joined by Nick Henry, who is chief exec of James Fisher & Sons. James Fisher capitalized some billion pounds, arguably, well, not arguably, undisputably, Britain's major supplier of subsea equipment. We're hoping that, in fact, James Fisher, through the provision of such equipment, either in kind or, dare I say it, at mates rates, will become undeniably a cornerstone investor. And most importantly, with their participation, any credibility you might be seen to lack on the salvage side is dealt with.
You're currently not floated.
Nope.
No pun intended with the floating.
Nope.
Where are you getting the investment from to engage in this huge operation?
Well, the initial seed investment, because, of course, we've had to, in fact, pay our advisors and pay a number of fees resulting from our approach to this investment, have been found by angel investors through the Angel Business Club. Those have been our seed investors. But increasingly, we're now finding tremendous interest amongst not 9-to-5 investors, mm-hmm. but big family offices, hedge funds, who see this as a remarkable opportunity to make quite substantial incremental returns. I would hope, however, that we do involve the great British public, because I always had in mind this being the great British project.
And with regards to once you salvage the gold, you've already said Her Majesty's government have rights or potential rights to this. How will that be distributed, and how can you turn a profit from the gold that
we have? We have a precedent. In all our workings, we are assuming the government takes a minimum of 20%. Mm-hmm. The reason the government is the legal owner is, in fact, in the first 3 years of both world wars, I mean, it was the losses were calamitous. Mm-hmm. So as a result, Lloyds were not insured. So the government had to effectively reinsure.
Understood.
So all the owners of the gold have been paid. Mm-hmm. The reinsurer, HMG, now owns the gold. So we start off by saying the legal owner is Her Majesty's government. We don't as yet have a formal agreement with Her Majesty's government, but there is precedent of one previous find where the government agreed a 20% take. So we're assuming we start there. Mm-hmm. I suspect it might go higher, depending on the level of recovery. But in fact, I suspect a matrix somewhere between the government taking 20 and 40% is probably accurate.
And the balance will go to investors?
The balance goes to the investors.
Oh, super. So it's a great model.
The investors.
And are there any areas that you won't engage in? Obviously, bearing in mind it's quite sensitive if you yes. have a salvage operation with effectively war graves.
Absolutely. Well, the whole of war graves is one we understand very clearly. There actually is no statute which says what is and what is not a war grave. Mm-hmm. But the general parlance now applies to armed ships, naval ships, or merchant ships that had been armed. Mm-hmm. So effectively, an HMS is off limits. A merchant ship is not. Having said that, there are clear sensitivities. A great many ships carried evacuees, notably children.
Yes.
Clearly, we would not get anywhere near those. Yes. And even where the wrecks are, and probably were, war graves, they will be treated with great sensitivity. Our salvage is not a smash and grab. It's a surgical exercise. We know where on the ships the gold is. Mm-hmm. It's all robotic. There will be no disturbing of what are, to some people, still places of reverence.
And gold, certainly this week, has moved to the upside. It seems a bit of a risk-off trade and a safe haven asset. Is there a point where if, let's say, gold was to halve in value, the operation would not be commercial?
No. We've done quite significant sensitivity studies, Matthew, and in fact we have done studies which show our having 100% recovery of the gold we believe to be on the ships and a 20% government take, and then switching that to, in fact, a 20% recovery and a 40% government take. With the current price of gold, even at the Hartford's level, it's still highly profitable.
Fantastic. And if viewers want to find out more about Britannia's Gold Limited, where best to go?
The best place to go is Britannia's own website, www.britanniasgold.com, where you'll find virtually everything, FAQs, press releases, information, the private placing memorandum. It's there for every investor, and I would hope they visit it.
Super. And when do you envisage the first gold bars coming out from the
Coming
waterfront?
Out? Well, coming out, that depends on success. But what we do plan is to, in fact, start our first salvage end of June, to, in fact, have the first cluster, which effectively is three target ships, done during the summer months in the North Atlantic.
Fantastic. Philip, thank you so much for coming on today. All the strength to you and good luck with your salvage operation.
Thank you so much, Matthew. Great pleasure.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.